A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are also joined with Hayden from Biograss this morning and telling you today is the day for you to get your big yellow bag. And Hayden, first of all, let's just begin. Now, people have been waiting for this great discount on the big yellow bag. Tell us what kinds of products you have that come in the big yellow bag. Hayden, are you there? Okay, while we wait for Hayden to come back, let's go to Linda in Draper. She has a call this morning. Good morning, Linda. How can we help you?
Good morning. Two-part question. I know it's probably a little early. How long does it take to solarize an area if when I put down the clear plastic?
It takes the entire growing season, and so what you'll need to do is put that down in May and leave it until October.
Okay. Will that potentially get rid of goat head?
Well, it would get rid of most of it. Now, if there's seeds deeper than 6 inches, you may not get hot enough that deep to kill them. But after you do your solarization, the next thing to be super careful about is to not cultivate deeper than about 4 or 5 inches, because that's about how deep that solarization will go. And so if it's done correctly,
it should... Second part to that question, I have another piece of ground that has gotten to the point where it probably only gets 6 hours maybe of sun during the day. If I want to eliminate weed in that area, better to use clear plastic or black plastic?
You could try the clear plastic, but if it's only getting 6 hours a day, that may not be enough to actually do the job.
Okay.
And so in that situation, you could try some inexpensive bark mulch from a green waste facility 2 or 3 inches deep to help suppress weeds. Now, it wouldn't kill the seed, but it would hold them back.
How deep did you say?
2 to 3 inches.
Okay.
And if you have things like bindweed, bindweed will go right through it. So it would be more annual weeds that are coming up from seed.
Okay. And then just have to treat the bindweed with Roundup or whatever.
Yeah, and if it's just an open area and there's not a lot of desirable plants, I'd actually use something along the lines of Roundup mixed with a lawn weed killer that has crabgrass control, because the crabgrass control element also does a pretty good job against bindweed.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call this morning. And Hayden is with us from Biograss this morning. And Hayden, tell us about the variety of products people can get in the big yellow bag.
Yeah, so we have 4 products. Our most popular one is our black garden soil, which is a mixture of sand, wood fines, and compost. We also have a premium topsoil and 2 wood chip products. We have a light color, which is ponderosa pine and Douglas fir. And then we have a chocolate bark that you can use for a top dressing.
Tell us about the discount today and how people get that discount.
So usually our bags go for $149. Right now we are giving you $30 off. So you can get $119 for a bag delivered if you go to bigyellowbag.com and use code KSL2021, or you can call us at 801-562-9090 and we can place your order over the phone.
So what is your delivery area? I know that you can't make it everywhere. So what is the area that you focus on?
So we go all the way up to Farmington and we go all the way down to about Santaquin. Our areas for the southern and northern areas are a little less often, but we are serving all the way in Utah County and then all the way up into, you know, Davis County. So.
Okay. So if someone thought they were just outside those boundaries, should they give you a call and see if you can deliver to them?
Yep. And yep, you can more than welcome to give us a call. You can also go online and just type in your zip code. And if the dates show up, then we can definitely deliver to you. But yeah, give us a call.
Okay, and to get the discount, again, you go to the website and you go to bigyellowbag.com, input KSL2021 for that discount. And plus, I understand that you have a giveaway.
That's correct. We're going to be giving away one big yellow bag for one lucky customer.
And how are we going to announce those? I guess we have one per hour that we're going to give away. Did you want to do one now?
That's correct. We can do, is it possible we can do like the first caller that calls in? We can give a...
Absolutely. Let's do the first caller right now that calls in to 801-562-9090. That is for Biograss, 801-562-9090. Let's go to our next caller this morning, and that would be, let's see, Kathy in Orem. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
What is your question this morning?
My question this morning is, how do you keep grass out of your flower beds other than being out there every day digging?
Digging and digging, Ton.
Digging. I know it's humanly possible because I've seen other people's yards.
Well, some of it depends on the kind of grass, because if you were growing a fescue or even a ryegrass, those do not spread by the stolons and rhizomes like many other grasses do. And so they stay a little bit better behaved. Now, the other thing that people do is they maintain an edge around the flower bed that they'll go in once a month with a spade and just recut that edge, and they go about 6 inches deep to sever all the roots of the Kentucky bluegrass.
Okay.
And so once you get the grass cleaned out, then maintaining that solid edge along the flower bed where you're taking a spade out there and just cleaning the grass off from the side will keep the grass out of your flower bed. Sometimes people will put down some cardboard or some boards to create that edge, and they'll do what's called chemical edging and use something like Roundup so that you're not killing the actual lawn, just that little, you know, once a month going in there and cleaning that out. But if you will go down with a shovel and just keep that edge clean, that will keep the grass from spreading back in. Now, it doesn't mean that you've got all the grass and there's roots in there, but over time, as you keep the grass cleaned out and keep that edge maintained, you will eliminate the grass in the flower bed.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your call this morning. Next listener would like to know, Ton, if it's still okay to apply dormant oil spray to fruit trees like peach, apple, and cherry.
Yeah, as long as the trees are not blooming. And in some situations, it's actually not the ideal time yet. You want to see that bud swell. And the timing is you want to get those buds as big as you can without green leaves or flowers popping out. Because if you do it too early, a lot of times those eggs or spores or overwintering insects are still pretty dormant. A lot of times they bury themselves under bud scales and things to where the sprays won't get. And so the longer you can wait without seeing the actual buds open, the better off you are and the more effective they'll be.
Okay. The next listener wants just a clarification about dethatching. They say they lowered their lawnmower blade, cut their lawn a few weeks ago. It did pull up thatch, and then they raised the blade to vacuum the dead grass. And they say, is that what you're talking about? And it's not really what you're talking about. That's not really dethatching, right, Ton?
No, it was probably just the low blade. You know, your grass will grow somewhat through the winter, especially in November and March. You may not see it, and you'll have this nice, clean-looking lawn on your last mowing. And then in the spring, it's all rough and, you know, unlevel and stuff because the grass does grow a little bit. And so they've probably just taken dead blades out and things that it's not a problem. What I'm talking about is when you have the attachments on the blade that are getting near ground level. And as the mower spins, it tears up a lot of that brown material and brings it to the surface. And people, just because, you know, I know somebody says, I take a whole truckload out every year. And I was like, well, you're robbing your soil of organic matter, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, even though you did, it doesn't mean it's a good thing. Now, as I will reiterate, and Hayden can contribute on this too, sometimes it's needed. But for the most part, if you're trying to improve your lawn health aerating is a much better and more friendly process to your lawn.
And let's
correct.
Go ahead, Hayden. I just wanted to make sure you were there. Go ahead.
Yep, I'm here, and that's totally correct. And you know, something even further you can go to make really improve that soil and help your grasses by sometimes even sweeping up some of those plugs after aerating and brushing new organic matter into those holes to improve the nutrients near the roots.
All right, and let's talk about the big yellow bag for a minute and the products that you have there at Biograss. Hayden, I know that you guys do a lot of testing to make sure that your products really meet the expectations of our climate. So talk about that for a second.
Yeah, so we get our soil tested every year to make sure all the nutrients are in, you know, sufficient ranges to be growing, you know, a variety of things that people are looking for, whether you're trying to put them into your flower beds to make your trees and shrubs grow better, or if you're using it in a garden to amend some soil for your vegetables. So we're always, you know, really striving to make sure that we have the best product for our customers to really do what they're interested in. And yeah, so we spend lots of time engineering and sometimes even changing our soil products to make sure that we're kind of always doing what the customers are most interested in.
All right. This is the day that you are offering KSL listeners the discount on the big yellow bag, $30 off. The bags are usually $149. They can get them today for $119. We're getting a lot of questions about this. There are people asking if they live out of the area, can they come pick up the big yellow bag?
Yes, they can. They can come pick up the big yellow bag. They can also buy it in bulk. We sell the product in bulk at our storefront, where you can have it dumped right into your truck for a little bit cheaper if you're interested in that. And we have all the products, all four of them, on hand and ready for you to go if you wanted to come in and pick those up.
And one listener, whatever we'd like to call them, would like to know how much soil is actually in the big yellow bag.
So it's 1 cubic yard of soil. That's 27 cubic feet. It covers about 160 square feet at 2 inches deep.
All right. And to get the discount today, the best way for people to get that is to go to bigyellowbag.com, input KSL 2021 for that discount. You can also call Biograss with any of your questions at 801-562-9090. And I have to say, did we get our winner?
Yes, we did. It was Francie Van Leeuwen. So congratulations, Francie. You'll be getting a free big yellow bag of black garden soil delivered to you.
So terrific. Always love to give away some garden soil on the Greenhouse Show. Again, we're going to take a break. The number to call the Greenhouse Show, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Again, to get your big yellow bag, though, go to bigyellowbag.com, input KSL 2021 for the discount.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. The number to call, 801-575-8255 with your questions, or you can text us at 57500. Let's get back to our phone lines, and Jenny is in Centerville. Good morning, Jenny. What is your question?
Yes, good morning. I have a large pot of herbs indoors, and I have a grow light over it. This morning I was looking at it, and my rosemary has like a white powder on the leaves, and I'm afraid it's going to spread to other herbs. I'm wondering if there's something I can do.
Isolate it from the other herbs, so you may need to put it in a different window or something. Now, rosemary...
Well, they're all in one pot.
Oh, well, I mean, the only thing you can do is pull it out. You know, if it looks like you have powdery mildew or something. Now, it could be that you have something that's just more natural, because the rosemary does develop kind of a waxy coating on it called a cuticle. And you could be seeing a little of that, but are you familiar with powdery mildew?
Not really. I mean, I'm looking at it now, and it's like little patches of white, fuzzy, looks like powder. I pulled off most of the main leaves that had it on, but I'm still seeing a few more, and I'm looking at the basil next to it, and the leaves that are touching that plant are sort of curling up like cups with little bumps.
Here's what I'm going to recommend you do, because if it is powdery mildew, you may need to use a fungicide, but there's not a lot of those registered for indoor use. But just to be sure that this is what it is, I'm going to have you email Sheridan Hansen, who's your Davis County horticulturist. Her email is Sheridan, and it's S-H-E-R-I-D-E-N, not A, but E-N. So S-H-E-R-I-D-E-N.Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N, at usu.edu. And she can either look at it or forward that on to her Master Gardener Clinic and have her volunteers look at it just to make sure that it's powdery mildew. But in the meantime, don't overhead water. Try to just water the soil itself if you can. And you
That's what I always do.
Okay. And you may need to try to find a ready-to-use spray oil or something. Because the problem you run into is that there are some things out there that might take care of it, but they're not registered for indoor use, especially in your home. And so,
well, especially if I'm going to be eating and using these, you know, and cooking, is it safe to use things on it?
There's a few things out there that would be. There are some oils, like neem oil, that you may find in a ready-to-use container, a bottle that you could use if it is the powdery mildew. What I would recommend in the future is not growing them all in the same pot and putting them in separate containers and having a little bit of separation between them so that there's some airspace and that the leaves aren't touching.
Well, now that sounds like good advice. I wish I had done that before. I was thinking if I could maybe isolate those rosemary leaves and put them like in a bag. Could I just treat that part?
Well,
in a little bag.
I don't know that there's going to be anything you can do. You know, one thing you might be able to do is just dig it out and go get some rosemary starts from a local garden center and plug them back in that don't have the powdery mildew.
So if I do that, it's not in the soil or anything that it's going to come back?
No, powdery mildew is mainly an airborne disease. It doesn't spread through the soil.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your help.
All right. You have a great day. Our next listener, Ton, has some questions about flowering pears. Their first question is there a way to minimize the fruit growth without killing the beautiful flowers in the spring? I guess they have one flowering pear that just really puts out a lot of, drops a lot of fruit all winter long.
Not really. I mean, there is a product called Florel Growth Regulator that they can spray when the trees are in full bloom. And it'll knock a lot of the blossoms off early. And so it doesn't really make them look ugly, but it makes them drop sooner than they normally would have.
Mm-hmm.
But those pears are not fruitless. And I know we've emphasized this several times, but their fruit does grow. And it sometimes will go a couple of years without getting fruit. And all of a sudden it has a heavy load. And they drop in the middle of the winter all over sidewalks and driveways. And those flowering pears can be quite messy.
Right. Their next question was, they have two of these trees. One of them grows like it has a bad haircut, and they're wondering what you would recommend to give it a haircut that would make it look appear more intentional or orderly.
Well, they don't want to take more than to about 25% of the branching out in any given year, and it should have been pruned a couple of weeks ago. So it's still probably okay to do some pruning on there, but what I would do is find the branches that it's looking that are looking a little bit ugly, follow those in toward the middle of the trunk, and cut them at a branch intersection.
Okay, we have just about a minute before the top of the hour news. Next person is asking, they say their lawn does not have good roots, and this will be the third summer. They live in Pleasant View, and they have very rocky soil. Would they put topsoil down? They don't know what the best, what can they do, basically?
Sometimes you need to. If your soil is so rocky that you're going to break a rototiller, then the next step is just to find a really good topsoil put down. I know that it's expensive. Ideally, you would do 6 inches, but put down the 2 or 3 inches and just lay the sod on top of it.
Okay, so what if they don't know for sure if they've put down enough? So they've already put some down. You're saying 2 to 3 inches.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Sometimes they even will put like an inch down. And the grass seems to grow around the rocks okay. But if you have a little bit of soil on top of those rocks that they can root into a little more, it's usually better.
Okay. Coming up after the top of the hour news, we're going to be talking about the plant of the week, Baptisia. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yes.
Or indigo? Okay.
It falls indigo bush.
All right. That's what we're going to be talking about. We also have Hayden with Biograss with us. We'll be talking about the Big Yellow Bag. If you want to get your discount, you can get in right now, bigyellowbag.com. Input KSL 2021 for that discount. You're listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.